Good morning. It's July the 13th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is a very familiar title that pastors across the ages have preached: The Almost Christian. And my first reading comes from Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. My second reading comes from the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. And I'll be reading different passages or verses, verses 4 through 11, then 12 through 18, and then 24 through 28. And this is Paul the Apostle giving a defense before a number of magistrates. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who were sanctified by faith in me. Now as he made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you insane. But he said, I am not insane, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak, freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you also believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. The almost Christian. Let me read to you a quote from a famous author and Christian apologist. He's known as G.K. Chesterton, but his full name is Gilbert Keith Chesterton. And if you were to do a little research on him, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, or G.K. Chesterton, was an English author. He was a philosopher. In all reality, a Christian apologist, and also a literary and art critic. This is what he said about the Christian faith. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. You know, over the years, I have had acquaintances and even some family members make the comment that I was crazy. Why was I crazy? Because of my Christian beliefs and my willingness to be a part of a local church, offering my time, my resources, and certainly the income or the money that God has provided for me. And when people have made these comments, either acquaintances or family members, what really gets them animated is this notion of tithing. To a T, they could not wrap their head around the idea someone, or in this case, myself, really tithing 10% of their income to God. And my rejoinder to such criticism was, well, how much money does the federal and state governments automatically take out of your pay for income taxes? I can guarantee you it's more than 10%. You know, Christians have been called all kinds of names down through the ages, both pejoratively and also with accolades, full of praise. Paul, as I read some of the excerpts from Acts 26, gave a thoughtful but passionate defense of his Christian faith before a mixed audience of Jews and Gentiles, royalty, and I'm sure there were some common folk present as well. So how many people have we known, whether family or friends or possibly co-workers, where we pour out our heart, sharing the goodness, the mercy, the grace, and kindness of God in our lives and in conversation with them? And at the end of the day, after that conversation, the response from friends and families and co-workers and acquaintances is very similar to what King Agrippa said to Paul. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. There are some people who, like Jesus, because he was a man who talked about forgiveness, he talked about loving your enemies, he talked at length about helping the poor and the needy, the widow and the orphan, and they liked his notion of talking about the kingdom of God and how expansive and open it was for all people. The almost Christian is a story that is both sad and repetitive down through the ages. Again, the spiritual forefather of Wesleyan theology or Methodism was John Wesley. And John Wesley, like many other pastors and preachers, delivered a sermon. In this case, the year was 1741, titled, no surprise here, The Almost Christian. And he delineates what is an almost Christian from his experience, both learned and also from life experience, his interactions with people as he traveled and preached across the English countryside. So let's define this. What is an almost Christian? For simplicity's sake, I would say an almost Christian is someone today who is intrigued and curious about Jesus, even going so far to say that they love him While now and then visiting a church out of curiosity or an invitation or possibly a life event being a marriage or a baptism or a funeral. While simultaneously keeping the world within their grasp and not letting it go because of its entertainment choices, its common customs and values, the economic privileges it carries with it through a career, through a job, all the while steadily rejecting truth that is objective and history, and instead gravitating and thinking and acting out of a subjective, moral relativistic lifestyle. That's a mouthful, I realize that. But that could be the almost Christian in our modern secular society today. What Christians and would-be Christians must remember are the words of Christ he makes in order to become a follower and a believer in him. In other words, to become a disciple. And this is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Those are some hard words, some challenging words. Words to chew on, to meditate and reflect upon. As an aside, the word hate in this context does not justify malice or ill will towards one's family, but it means devotion. It means devotion and loyalty to Christ and to God and the Holy Spirit first and foremost. Devotion and affinity to our family, to our spouses, to our careers, to our children, to our grandchildren, etc. Our country comes in second place, not first place. Now, coming back to the Apostle Paul, if you do some research and reading on your own, if you read chapters 24, 25, and 26, you will see Paul defending his innocence of these charges at Caesarea. And he is defending his innocence before Roman officials because the charges were brought against him by Jewish religious authorities. And Paul appears before Felix and Festus, and finally he appears before King Agrippa II with his wife Bernice. And in his defense, he gives a high-level life review while proclaiming his innocence and fidelity to Jewish law, hope, and belief in the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to say that Jesus of Nazareth was the first one. He concludes by deftly asking King Agrippa II if he too believes in the prophets. It is at that specific question that Agrippa then says to Paul before all the court, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Agrippa was so close to becoming a disciple and believer and follower of Jesus Christ. So what does an almost Christian look like today? Well, for some would say, well, they're a Christian because of where they were born. Their country, historically or numerically, is majority Christian. And some would go on to pontificate to say that their name is a reflection of the Christian faith. Others might say, well, they were brought up in a religious/Christian home or family. Every now and then they attended church, Christmas or Easter or some family occasion or event. Maybe others would say that they are Christian because of their education. At some point in their life, they attended a Christian school, or they attended Sunday school, or they completed confirmation, or they might have been involved in a Bible study of some kind. Others would say they were almost a Christian because they believe in some of the doctrines that are promulgated in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Coming back, some would say that they're a Christian, or they're really an almost Christian, because they have some connection to a church. Could be family, could be spouse, could be an event that happened in their younger years, whatever. And then even others, we're not used to this. Some would say they're a Christian because they plan on being buried in a Christian cemetery and having a Christian funeral or memorial service. Those are signs of an almost Christian. Here are some other signs of an almost Christian, but I'm sure there are more. An almost Christian in our context and really our world today is that you know deep inside you that you need God and that you need to change. But for whatever reason, you refuse to confess your need for God and your need to ask for change. You also know that you want to be saved and you want to have peace of mind. But for whatever reason, you remain undecided in your commitment to Christ. For others, you believe that your good deeds, your charitable efforts, is more than enough for you to outweigh your misdeeds and your sin that was completed or committed in thought and action. There are many who are standing at the door, but in reality, they are still outside and they have not come in yet. For the almost Christian, you are more concerned with what your family and what your friends say and believe in rather than what the Bible and what God says on a given topic, whatever it might be. And lastly, for the almost Christian, you're walking on thin ice because it can be eternally dangerous. Now, that begs the next question. What does a Christian look like today? A Christian is someone who has heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ and has believed in Jesus Christ for their Lord and Savior. It's a confession of faith, but that's just the beginning. A Christian today is someone who has learned that obedience is better than sacrifice in their daily living. A Christian today is someone who has had their sins cleansed and purged from their old life. A Christian today is someone who lovingly belongs to Jesus Christ and His church. A Christian today is someone who is becoming like Christ in their thought, in their words, and in their actions. When you tie all of those points together, it points to someone who loves and desires to serve Christ. I'm going to read to you a testimony of a young man who was a pastor's son. And for many years, he would describe himself as an almost Christian. This testimony that I'm going to share comes from the Christianity Today magazine, dated September 2022. And the young man in question goes by the name of Jonathan Bailey. And it is as follows. Jonathan grew up as a pastor's kid, a PK. His father pastored a non-denominational charismatic church. He and his brother often would have BB gun shootouts in the vacant sanctuary when no one was around. And he learned how to do donuts using the youth pastor's car before he could legally drive in the church parking lot. When he got older, he threw himself into behind-the-scenes work of the youth group. Jonathan insisted on working in the sound booth because it allowed him to avoid worshiping himself and instead afforded him the opportunity to watch others. Jonathan writes in this interview the following. He says, "As a teenager, I was pretty sure I believed God existed, but without firsthand experience of Him. Christianity went in one ear and out the other. I knew facts and Bible verses, but there was my arch nemesis, the altar call. I had never experienced any long-lasting change after raising my hand or repeating a prayer. And so over time I came to loathe phrases such as, walk the aisle, and repeat after me. Each attempt at getting saved seemed like to take life rather than give it to me. At the age of 22, Jonathan became a summer camp counselor along with one of his best friends. And on the final night of camp, the sermon ended with another altar call, and Jonathan saw his friend walk forward. But more shocking than that was the later evidence that something really happened to him that night. You see, his friend stopped drinking and partying. He began to read the Bible and Christian books voraciously, and he started to attend church regularly. He seemed to want to know God, to be like him, and he had joy. Jonathan goes on to say that this was the opposite of what I experienced growing up. The cycle usually went something like this: get saved in a burst of emotion, commit to Jesus for a few days or weeks or months, and then watch that devotion fade away. But my friend grew month after month. His commitment and love for God were unwavering. And the thought seized me, change is possible, it's actually possible. It gave me hope that Christianity could bring real change in my life. One morning, an honest prayer began to spill out of me. God, I don't love you, but I want to. Then one night, everything changed. I was in a deep sleep when suddenly my eyes opened. I was feeling confused about why I was awake at 5 a.m., I lay silently in the dark for a few seconds. Then I heard something in my mind, distinct and clear. It was like no other thought I had had. I heard these words, get up, pick up your Bible, and sit down at your desk. I got up and found my Bible, which had been collecting dust under a lamp on my nightstand. I picked a random spot. I looked down to see the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37, and it read as follows: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Like the destruction of a great dam, the floodwaters of God's love crashed into me. In that moment, my secondhand spirituality became firsthand. My knowing about God was replaced with knowing God. And like my friend's experience, the change was permanent. He goes on to conclude his testimony by saying the following: That doesn't mean faith has been easy, but it has been the most thrilling adventure of my life. Battling habits of pride and anger and lust and gluttony has become an adventure. Through the joy and the pain, Jesus has shared his eternal life with me, filling and freeing me. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an absolutely beautiful testimony that I wanted to share with you. Jonathan Bailey went from an almost Christian to an altogether Christian. Charles Spurgeon, who was called the Prince of Preachers in England, said the following. He said, your hunger cannot be appeased by almost eating, nor your thirst quenched by almost drinking. You see, our souls cannot be saved by being an almost Christian.